Welcome to the Divorce View Talk Show with your co-hosts, Joni Winberg and Rosalind Sadaka, your divorce mentor team. If you're contemplating divorce, going through a divorce, or are ready to move forward after your divorce, then we've got you covered. We'll even help you get back into the dating game. This show will lift your spirits, answer your questions, and guide you through the challenges you're facing. And our guest divorce experts will provide insights, tips, and tools to support you and the children you love during and after divorce. And now, here's your divorce mentor team, Joni and Rosalind.
Welcome to the Divorce View Talk Show, along with my host, Rosalind Sadaka. Hello, it's Joni Winberg, Certified Human Behavior Consultant, Divorce Mentor, and CEO of the National Association of Divorce for Women and Children. I'm always honored and thrilled to do this show together with my co-host, Rosalind. Hello, Roz.
Hi, Joni. Great to be here with you again. And I'm Rosalind Sadaka. I'm a divorce and parenting coach and founder of the Child-Centered Divorce Network for Parents. And we have a guest that we're very excited to be talking with today because she brings a wealth of information on the financial side of divorce, which no one likes to think about, but if you don't, you're in big trouble. So, Joni, why don't you introduce our guest?
Absolutely. Our guest today, she has over 18 years experience, and this is Stacy Francis, and she is president and CEO of Francis Financial Incorporated, an award-winning independent fee-only wealth management, financial planning, and divorce financial planning firm specializing in personalized financial consulting for successful and individuals for individuals and family. She is also a certified divorce financial analyst, and she has appeared regularly on NBC, PBS, CNN, Good Morning America, just to name a few. So welcome, Stacy. We're thrilled you're here.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I'm excited to be able to give some great financial advice to people who probably really could benefit from it.
Absolutely. So our topic, we gave it kind of, I think, a great title, Suddenly Single, Reinventing Your Bank Account. So to kind of get back to basics, what actually does a certified divorce financial analyst do? How was that person helpful?
Great question. A certified divorce financial analyst, you could also hear it as CDFA, can help you avoid essentially the long-term pitfalls related to a divorce agreement. So essentially a CDFA can help you forecast what the long-term effects of the divorce settlement will look like. We'll look at the tax liabilities, benefits, and develop a long-term forecast for your financial situation. Often when we are looking at a settlement, we're looking at the impact of how are we going to be affected today and maybe the next year or two. But financial decisions really need to be made not only about what we need to be doing today and the immediate family needs, but also retirement as well. So that CDFA, that Certified Divorce Financial Analyst, can help you project out 10, 20, even 30 years. What is your life going to look like based on the settlement? And even post-divorce, helping you post-divorce be able to think through how to start to plan even more so in the long run.
Mm-hmm. So you're not only, as you said, you're not only helping them now in the through the divorce process, but then, like you said, in the future. Go ahead, Roger.
Although I was just saying that that's a big undertaking to do, and it must be very comforting for someone to know that if they're in the hands of a professional who's not only a financial planner, but a financial planner who specializes in divorce, then they know all the pitfalls to watch out for. And there are many for both women and men. Perhaps you could talk a little bit about, during the divorce process, some of the things that are most important before we move into the being suddenly single again.
Great question. So I typically see five pitfalls that unfortunately I see over and over again. The first one can be something that you wouldn't think is a pitfall, but can be, and that is keeping the family home. Depending on your situation, the house that you purchased may be something that you can only afford with two incomes. Mm-hmm. And now that you have one income, going forward and owning that home, instead of it giving you the stability that you really want, it can be one of the worst financial destabilizers you could ever imagine for. Mm-hmm. So what we encourage you to do is to project out that owning the home on your own, factoring out all the expenses, and that includes real estate taxes that will most likely go up, yeah, lawn maintenance, repairs, maintenance, even things like the, you know, the cost of homeowners insurance, your security with that. Also looking at things such as you know utilities that typically might be a little bit higher, a plumber, a handyman, if you were not the person necessarily changing the light bulb. And if you truly can't afford the home, the better thing will be is most likely to sell it and split the proceeds. I 100% understand, and myself as a mom, I have a daughter, Samantha, who's 5, and Sebastian, who's 8, who are, they're the absolute joy of my life. I understand wanting to stay in the home to try and make the transition as easy as possible, but you two know that children tend to be very resilient, and while staying in the home or neighboring school district is a good thing, having them experience the stress that you might bring into the home of resulting from financial instability would really be a whole lot worse.
Absolutely, definitely. And the kids can pick that up pretty quick, the feeling the stress, which is also probably would add to the stress of the two people trying to get along the best they can, the two parents.
Exactly. I agree.
So that would be number one. What would be another pitfall that you would like to share?
The other one is actually trying to keep the same lifestyle. And once you become accustomed to a certain lifestyle that you've had as a married individual, it's very hard to change that. It's often very difficult to adjust to a smaller income and a tighter budget. However, when you go through a divorce, again, you're losing a second income. So what I would invite you to do is to start to think about your spending in a different way. I want you to think of your spending as what's called conscious spending. So as you go through your daily life, think about, as you spend your money, what gives you the most joy? Is it spending your money on a special event, maybe going to a baseball game with your kids? Or is it the yoga class that you love? Figuring out what are the things that are really important for your joy, so that as you look at your budget, knowing again that you most likely will not be able to have the same standard of living as you had previously, that you can keep the things that are really important to you so that you don't feel deprived. Because most likely you already are, you know, really finding it difficult with all the transition. If you can, again, make sure that the things that are important to you stay in your budget and be honest about that and not feel guilty, that's going to help you very much go forward, move on, and be really happy.
It's scary. That is a big adjustment. Go ahead, Ross.
Totally agree with that. Live within your means, and even if you have to be making an adjustment, because otherwise you're setting yourself up for a lot of challenges that are going to be negative in your life.
I would even suggest making it a family project so that the kids don't become resentful that you're cutting out this movie or certain clothes that they might like. Making it a whole family project that we're all going on a budget or however you want to word it, so that we're working together as a team and mommy and daddy are also doing this, we're all cutting back, so that they feel the sense that it's all working together. In fact, I did have a mom who did this with her kids. They set goals together and they wanted to go to Disney. So what they did is they had a yard sale. They were selling bottles in some states. There's a bottle return or deposit return. So they raised the money together so that they could go to Disney. And that was a great thing to do. So the kids got the value of the dollar.
Oh my gosh, I can only imagine too how special that trip was. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Do you see other pitfalls that people get into financially, Stacey?
Yeah, another one is forgetting to change your will or insurance policies. Along with the legal documents of separation or divorce, you also need to update your will and your insurance policies. That's really important. And it's also the fantastic, perfect time to change your beneficiaries for accounts that you have designated beneficiaries for, such as your 401k at work, your IRAs. It could be also if you have a transfer on death account that is a brokerage account, but transfer on death brokerage accounts, you can actually have also a beneficiary. For your checking or savings, if it's also considered what's called a pay on death account, that too, you'll have a beneficiary. You'll want to also update your will and make sure that you update your healthcare proxy or also something called your living will. What a living will healthcare proxy is it designates someone to be able to make medical decisions for you. And most likely, if you are getting divorced, you don't want your ex-spouse to be the one to be able to make decisions for you. The same thing with your power of attorney. Power of attorney gives a lot of power to someone, and they can make financial decisions for you and take money out of your accounts. Again, you most likely do not want your ex-spouse to be doing that. And if you think about, no matter what, I probably have some time to do this after the divorce, I would just know that while women, we wait a little bit longer, for men, the average time period that they wait to get remarried is only 2 years. So you could be leaving assets, for example, a gentleman, he could be leaving assets to his former wife, his ex-wife, when he's currently married to someone new. And that can create, I will tell you, a whole lot of headaches and potential even litigation costs. Essentially, something you really just do not want.
Mm. No, you don't want to be finding this information out after the fact. Why it's so great that Stacey is giving us these heads up, because you want to be in the hands of someone who is going to remind you about all of those details, because they're so hard to think about when you're dealing with all the emotional and psychological aspects of the divorce. You need someone with a level head there who is making sure you cross all your T's, and that's what Stacey does.
Well, that's excellent. So do you have more or less like a checklist that you go down yourself, Stacey, to say, okay, we need to work on your will, or I suggest that you work on your will, I suggest you do this, this, and this, just so that you've got all areas covered?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. I believe in operation manuals, and we have operation manuals that we follow, checklists, so that any situation, no matter how unique it is, that we have all the steps needed. And what's important too, if you're not working with a financial plan, or you need to have a support network, because you can be very, very overwhelmed. I just delivered a settlement analysis for a client of ours that's getting divorced, and we projected out till she's age 95. And the number of things that we're working on for her is up around 20 or so. And that means, changes to her will, changes to her life insurance, all her beneficiaries, changes to her auto insurance. She needs to change her auto and her homeowner's insurance. We need to change the titling of her 529 plans for the kids, let alone, of course, the updating the will. So it's an overwhelming amount. And her words to me were, I've always heard the term feel like a deer in headlights. But I never knew what that meant until now. And so what I say to you is not to scare you in any way, but to have someone who can do a lot of this work for you, or have a support network in your family to guide you, because it's not going to get done overnight, but you need to continue down this path to protect you and really protect your family too. So again, make sure that you figure out, again, top things to do first, and you know, each week try and tackle one of them. Or again, if you work with a financial advisor, that's actually what they should be doing for you, so that you don't have to worry about that, and that's one less thing on your plate.
Mm-hmm. Especially at that time, because to me, it's such an emotional time. It's hard to make decisions. Plus, you want to focus your attention on the kids and help them adjust. So mm-hmm. some of these yeah. details to me can be overwhelming. So it's great to have someone like yourself to say, okay, tell me what to do and I'll do it.
Exactly.
Are there other pitfalls that you see and that our listeners should be aware of?
Great question. So the next pitfall is keeping essentially joint credit cards or joint loans. As you know, once you've decided that your marriage is over, it can be quite tense and very emotional. And leaving your finances intact can cause a lot of problems later on for both of you. In fact, what we have seen is during the divorce process, one of our clients, their spouse ran up their joint credit cards and ended up charging about $60,000 of debt and did not pay it. Her credit was decimated. And the reason why is that even though he had incurred the debt, it was a joint credit card. And so when he didn't pay, it hurt not only his credit, but it also hurt her credit. And she worked very hard, and we worked hand in hand with her to be able to essentially resurrect her credit so that she could go on and have the life she deserved, so that she could eventually buy a house. But I will tell you that if you can make sure that any credit cards that you have that are joint, close them, open a credit card in your name only. You want to make sure that you're building your own credit. Any other types of loan, any types of maybe it's a home equity line of credit. If you're concerned about your spouse using that, that would be something else that you might want to look into possibly closing too. So again, be careful, protect yourself, and try and keep your finances as separate as possible.
I would think canceling the credit cards or the joint credit cards would be the first thing to do.
Yes. Yeah. And again, it's dependent on your situation. We're working on about, six to seven different divorces right now, just during this month. And I will tell you that of them, about half of them, that's not something we have to worry about, knock on wood, because it's a very amicable situation. And that's just not something that would happen. But there are the other half that we have gone and we've done that and made sure that everything that is a joint account has been closed. If there's that fear. Now, what you want to do is be very open. If you're in the divorce process, be very open about your want to do that, because you don't want to spark any animosity or additional tension between the two of you by doing that and not sharing that information. Can you imagine how embarrassing it would be if you're going out to dinner with friends and put down the credit card and it's declined? So be very open about it, but you've got a lot of good reasons where it would make sense.
Especially if a third party becomes involved, that would, to me, would be just, a clean cut that we're separate here, that you can do your thing with another party, but you just have that clean cut. Ross, I'm sorry. Did you have a question? I didn't mean to.
No, your comment was along the lines that I was thinking, and I just thought this is a good time for us to start transitioning into talking about. So after the divorce, what kind of suggestions should people be looking for to they're free, supposedly, and now they have a lot of financial decisions to be making because they're starting over on their own. And so what are the suggestions and the pitfalls to avoid when you're starting over?
Great question. The most important is to understand your financial costs. You need to make sure that you know how much you need to spend on a monthly basis. So being very, very detailed about how much are you spending on Starbucks? How much are you spending on eating out? We all know the dollar amount we pay towards our mortgage and our real estate taxes, but it's what I call the red hot items, the variable ones, the clothing, eating out, the coffees here and there, taxis or things like that, vacations that we don't keep track of, I think, as well. You really need to understand what your budget is and to create a budget that works for you and your family. And then thirdly, actually stick to it. A great resource that you can use is Mint.com. Have either of you used Mint.com before?
No. You say Mint, like M-I-N-T? Is that what you're saying, Mint?
Okay. Correct. Mm-hmm. So Mint.com is a free website that you can use. It links to all of your assets. So you can link it with your retirement assets, your brokerage account, your checking, savings, credit cards, auto loan, homeowners, loan, your mortgage. And it shows you, as of that minute, what the current value is on all of those different accounts. Why is that so powerful? It's very powerful because you're going to know what your assets are. But then secondly, it also tracks your spending. Because it's connected to your credit cards and it's also connecting to that checking account, it's going to pull in all of your spending and categorize it for you so that you can track how much you are spending towards eating out. And what's wonderful, what's really wonderful, is that you can even have Mint.com send you emails when you are at risk of overspending for your dining out budget, or maybe it's the coffee budget that you have for yourself. It's a wonderful tool that really assists you with your new budget and your new lifestyle to make sure that you're staying where you should with regards to your spending.
That's great.
Especially with children, it's hard not to spend on them. So to me, you definitely need a budget for that.
Yes.
So the Child Centered Divorce Network, and in my coaching, recommends that parents use the online scheduling tools to reduce conflict and keep all the details, especially the financial details, in order. Do you work with clients who are using such tools? One, for example, is CoParently.com, and I'm just wondering if you've been working along with those kinds of scheduling tools.
Yes, so for some of our more complex parenting plans, for implementing them, those are tools that we've seen some of our clients use, and they're wonderful. They're wonderful. Sometimes there tends to be a challenge with a situation, and it could be even just because there was a miscommunication. And I agree with you that those tools are phenomenal at taking that miscommunication piece out and making it clear for everyone.
That's very helpful. And that way there, everyone can see it. You can log on and everyone can be on the same page just to try and avoid the conflict. Other tips after you're now divorced, moving on, Stacey, what other tips for our listeners?
Great. Definitely the second tip is knowing what you have. This step is very important to understand and keep track of, and Mint.com is a great resource. Your retirement assets, your liquid assets. What assets can I use in the event of emergency? Those would be liquid assets that might be in cash. Your brokerage accounts. So those are taxable accounts. That are not necessarily for retirement, but are for longer-term investing. Understanding the real estate, the value of your real estate and personal property. Even understanding pieces like your cash value of the life insurance policy you hold and the restricted stock. Again, making sure that while this whole time you were negotiating, I want half of this or I want half of that, often people afterwards just completely put their assets out of their mind and think of life on a day-to-day basis, you really need to start to plan moving forward. Look at those assets. Make sure they're working together for you, that they're allocated the right way, that portfolio is working hard. I'll give you an example. We had a client who came to us, and her accounts had stayed the same and not been changed since she got divorced about 3 years earlier. When we looked into those accounts at her asset allocation and the investments in there, we realized that she is invested in a type of investment that is one of the most risky investments that you can have that's available. And in fact, it's something that we would never, ever have our clients in, and any financial advisor that would put more than 5 or 10% of a portfolio in it would most likely be subject to a lawsuit. Over 60% of her portfolio was in this, and this lovely woman was very, very, very conservative and appalled when she found this out. And she inherited this, again, or received this through the divorce process and just hadn't thought about looking back to see, do these assets work for me with regards to the way that they're invested?
Mm. Oh, wow. Thank goodness she has your organization to help her, an advisor.
Well, thank you. Yes. Making sure, and actually that would be, you know, one of my final tips is, you know, hire a good team. Hire a good team. Personal recommendations for trusted friends or business associates are really fantastic resources for professionals. If you are interested in a certified divorce financial analyst, you can always reach out to me. We also have a website that you can go to called divorceandfinance.org. So divorceandfinance.org. And you can look to find a CDFA in your area, which could help you. But make sure you have other people on that team. The work that you do is so important. Coaches, therapists, making sure that you have a great accountant for your new tax return on your own. If there's a business, making sure that you have a business evaluator, a pension evaluator. These are all things that are important for you to make sure that you have the right team to move forward and live the life that you really deserve.
Yes. Absolutely. Stacey, I heard in when Joni gave you the introduction that you are
fee only
firm, and I know that's a term that's very important when choosing anyone to work on you financially. And there's a real asset in working with someone like that. And I wonder if you could just give us a brief explanation about that and the advantages.
Well, thank you. As far as when you're looking for a financial advisor, there are three things that I would tell anyone to look for. Number one, you want them to be fee only. You want them to be a fiduciary, and then you want them to be comprehensive. I call it FFC. Fee only means that the person only receives compensation directly from you. So they don't receive commissions or kickbacks. Why is that important? It's important because most likely you're going to need to buy life insurance. Most likely you're going to need to reinvest the portfolios that you have. And you don't want someone getting a commission by selling you life insurance, because you're always going to wonder, am I buying the life insurance because I need it? Or are they telling me to buy it because they make money? So it's wonderful to work with an advisor that doesn't get compensation from selling you this investment or this type of insurance. Fiduciary is another important aspect. And you want to work with a fiduciary. A fiduciary who is a financial planner has to, by law, put your interests in front of their own. It makes sense that everyone should work that way. But guess what? In particular, public companies, their fiduciary duty is to the shareholders, people who own the company, and that is to make profits. So you can see there can be some challenge. And then the C piece, the FCC, is comprehensive. It's very important to have someone that not only just manages your money and looks at your portfolio, but particularly if you're going through divorce, you have a very complex situation, no matter how simple you think it is. There's so many other aspects you have to think about that we spoke about with regards to credit cards, cash flow and budgeting, looking at, you know, saving for education, retirement, changing your life insurance, disability, auto and homeowners insurance, looking at your estate planning. There's so much more for you, and having a person who is comprehensive and has a specialty in that is really important. So I would say look at the FFC.
I like that. That puts it all together.
True.
I want to make sure once again that they know your website. The best way to connect with you, Stacy, is your website that's on the screen. Is that correct?
Yeah, so you can reach out to us through francisfinancial.com. Please also feel free to reach out to me. I am great with my email. Maybe a little obsessive compulsive about that, but I'm okay admitting it. But my email is Stacy, S-T-A-C-Y, at francisfinancial.com. And that's F-R-A-N-C-I-S. financial.com. So feel free to reach out. You may have a question or two. We're happy to help you answer it. And if we're not the right fits, that's fine. We can put you in direction of the right person that you need, whether that might be an accountant, an estate planning attorney, a forensic accountant or evaluator. We have a fantastic resource list that we've developed over the last decade plus, particularly related to people going through this transition.
Excellent. I just wanted to add that there's a website I highly recommend that has a resource on finding the best financial planner for you and is in alignment with everything that Stacy was saying, and that's yourbestmoneysecrets.com. If you check on the financial planner report, that's a very valuable resource tool. So thank you, Stacy, for a wealth of really wonderful information, clearly explained and given to us in a way that we could all digest and see the scope of all of that, of what's so important for people before, during, and long after their divorce. You did a great job.
Well, thank you. And it's been wonderful to be part of this. I think what you're doing is so powerful, and so many people really, really, really need this information.
Stacy, it's always a joy to reconnect, and I'm just thrilled that we have, and also and thanks for being on the show. Thank you for taking the time and being with us. It's been wonderful.
I will see you.
And then also for our listeners, make sure that you go to divorceview.com, and that's where you can see all the archives of our shows, all our professionals and experts that are there sharing their wealth of information, as Stacy will be, as of course. And then also this great tools that Rosalind and I also offer to help you during and after divorce. So thank you so much for tuning in. We enjoy being with you. We're here to support you before, during, and after divorce. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.